This podcast from News Talk WHCU is sponsored by Brightworks Computer Consulting. Call 277-8585.
With my high starch collar and my high top shoes and my hair piled high up on my head, I went to lose a jolly hour on the trolley and lost my heart instead. With his light brown derby and his bright green tie, he was quite the handsomest of men.
From Meet Me in St. Louis, it's Judy Garland singing the trolley song and joining us in the studio on Wednesday morning, David Rossiter. And David, as you're an Ithaca native, but you're well beyond that.
Well, I've lived in different places around the world, lived in Venezuela for a while, and lived in the Netherlands for 20 years, and work a lot in China. And when my work in the Netherlands took me all over the world. So anyway, but I'm an Ithacan at heart. And I'm here now.
Yeah, and in fact, you were born and raised here, and you had a book back in the day that you and your brother looked at about railroads, and now this has become a point of interest for you, and now you are leading a tour this Sunday. That's Sunday, starting at 1:30 from our History Center, online at thehistorycenter.net, beginning from 401 East State Street, of taking a look at what was once our streetcars of Ithaca.
That's right. We had a streetcar system from 1887 to 1935. Now, I'm not quite that old, so I don't remember it. But I know quite some of the old timers, and most of them have passed on now, who told me some stories. But it was just an interest of ours. And we would always point out the remnants. And now, as the years go on, there are fewer and fewer really visible signs. But there are still some things you can see that were actually constructed by the streetcar company, and we'll see those, but we'll also trace the entire route all the way from the Lehigh Valley Station on the West End, which is now Chemung County Trust Company, all the way to the East Ithaca Station.
Wow.
And then out in the little-known Cayuga Heights Railway, which only lasted 2 years, from 1906 to 1908.
What did Cayuga Heights not want to take the mass transit system?
Well, what happened was they had a very good success by developing Cornell Heights around 1900.
Okay.
And that was the Wyckoff interests. And they extended the trolley line across the bridges, Stewart Avenue and Bridge. And that was sold very quickly. So they said, hey, this was a great idea. So Jared Newman and Blood and a consortium bought up Cayuga Heights, which was, I think, a farm that was originally owned by Ezra Cornell's, one of the sons, I think, and some other people. And they said, okay, we're going to develop this. And to make it develop, we'll extend our trolley system that by that time was running down Thurston Avenue in Cornell Heights. We'll extend it all the way through Cayuga Heights in these big loops and come down to Stewart Park, which was then Renwick Park. And but it didn't develop fast enough. So people would take it in the summer. It was a very popular excursion for 3 summers. And then no one was there in the winter. So in 1908, they cut it back just to Klein Road. If you know where that is, it's just into Cayuga Heights. So They only got this little bit of Wyckoff and Klein. And then a few years later, there was enough development along Highland that they brought it out to the corners by the Cayuga Heights School. But that still only lasted till 1930.
Would I see remnants of our streetcars and look right past them and not even know what I'm looking at?
You might. And I think one of the ones that you may have well seen is if you're going down Thurston Avenue sometimes, and you're just heading downhill, bunch of fraternities on your right, and you're about to turn left on Barton Place to head down to the Stewart Avenue Bridge. But instead, you look straight ahead, and you'll see a very flat, wide area that people have used to park behind their houses above Thurston Avenue. That was the passing track of the street railway as it went around the knoll. It didn't follow Thurston and Stewart. It had its own right-of-way around the knoll to come down to the Stewart Avenue Bridge, and you can see that clear as day.
David Rossiter, I'm fascinated already, which only begs the question, why aren't you hitting up the History Center for their tour of our streetcars and where you can still see remnants thereof and the route it took this Sunday, starting at 1:30 from our History Center, 401 East State Street. And you can register online at thehistorycenter.net from 1887 to 1935. How popular was this as a form of transportation in our community, David?
It was, in the very beginning, the first line only went from the railway stations to the Ithaca Hotel, but it was already popular. And why? The streets were all mud back then. And the cab drivers, with the horse cab, they would just charge exorbitant rates and, typically try to, especially the people arriving at the railway station, try to cheat them and everything. That was already quite popular. Then when the line got extended up East Hill in 1893, it immediately became popular with the people who lived downtown in rooming houses and, of course, would go to Cornell either as teachers or students. And it got quite popular. It got double tracked in the 1920s. It got double tracked.
Really?
And there were cars about every 10 minutes. And the big loop went from the station to downtown up East Hill. And it went up Eddy Street, up to the Eddy Gate. And then turned and had a private right of way and crossed another artifact many of listeners will know. The so-called trolley bridge, which is this little footbridge between College Town and the base of the engineering quad.
Right.
Now, that's not the original bridge because Cornell replaced it in 2006 with a modern design, but it's exactly in the same place. And then it went through Cornell along East Avenue, and as I said, through Cornell Heights and back Stewart Avenue. So it made this loop in two directions, and it was quite popular.
Was it coal-powered?
No. This is all electric power.
All right,
and they had a power. They had various power plants, and at one point they had a power plant directly under the Stewart Avenue Bridge. But unfortunately, that burned in 1906, and I think then they took their power from the Remington plant at Remington Point, which is near where the Bolton Point, where the Remington waterworks are.
Okay, so the streetcars met their untimely demise in the summer of 1935.
Well, I'm not sure how untimely, in the sense that the streetcar companies had to pay for their own upkeep. For example, we pay for the roads. The streets are paid for by the general taxes and motorist taxes. But the streetcar had to maintain their own electric system. They had to maintain their own rails. They had to fix their own rails. And so it was pretty expensive, and so they lost money, and the franchise was bought by a bus operator in the summer of 1934, and by 1935 they switched to buses, which of course also have the advantage of being somewhat more flexible if you have a streetcar that's stalled or something. And of course I should, this is maybe a nice little anecdote, I know this directly from my father, who was Cornell class of 1939. The fraternity boys used to grease the rails on the sections going up from on Stewart Avenue, going up from the Cascadilla Bridge.
You're getting up that hill,
right? Well, it's that incline, going up the brick part that's by the hillside in still.
You're kidding me?
And the fraternity boys would come out and they'd like to grease the rails, and that would cause a lot of problems. So then they would, I think, from what I understand, they would just get out and come out of the bushes and help push it up the.
They'd grease it so you couldn't get up the hill. And then they'd be
then
the ones.
Then they'd be, they'd having a good little time. So I had that directly from my father. It was in one of the fraternities, lived very in the late 1930s.
See, and I thought 1935 would have brought the rise of affordable automobiles, and people would have been putting themselves into their own cars at this point and not seeing the need for streetcars as much. But to see it transfer to a bus system and a bus system, which we still see in place to this day in our backyard.
Well, not exactly the same, because what happened with that system, they went bankrupt in about 1961, and that's when the city moved to take it over. And I remember this very well, because we had about 1 week in August of 1961 with no bus service, because the bus company went bankrupt finally. I remember taking the bus in the late 1950s, and it followed pretty much the streetcar, same routes as a streetcar, but of course it would say use Thurston Avenue instead of the Knoll line. It used the regular streets. And it was pretty sorry affair. They weren't putting any money into it. And so the city then bought it and called it the community transit system. And they had quite an assortment of buses. I'll never forget that. Was very funny in that summer of 1961, because they would get the buses that Utica or Syracuse had thrown away. And they would run for about 1 week before they would die. And then finally they got a little extra money. And they started building a nice little bus system, but some of the old timers will remember these little buses with this sort of the Mohawk, Mohawk Airline colors, which were the black and gold. But then it got more. Cornell started their own system, and at a certain point, they decided to put everything together. And then we got TCAT, which was a very big improvement. And also, what TCAT did is they looked at the modern system. I mean, they never, for example, Ithaca College was put up on South Hill early in the 1960s. And that was well after the streetcars, of course. And I don't think the streetcars would have done very well going up South Hill.
Well, not if there are fraternities between here and there.
Well, that's true, too. But anyway, so the bus system expanded quite a bit. And then so we have a very nice bus system now, I think, you know, far superior, especially because it goes into the rural areas and so forth.
But it all began with a streetcar system that got its start here in our backyard in 1887.
Right. It was the third one in New York State, I believe.
Really?
And he used a very primitive electric system for a few years until after about 5 years it got bought out by another consortium and they changed to what the trolley pole conventional system we think of now. But it had a very kind of – in those days you have to remember that the electrical engineers were all arguing about what the best system for electrical propulsion
was. We're still fighting about whether we're going Tesla or Edison on this one.
Well, that's pretty much a Tesla or Edison – I think they all went for DC on the final delivery, but also how were you going to get the power from the trolley lines down to the streetcar? That had not been decided. And so there was a lot of competition. And then you'll see back, especially in the 19-teens, electric traction was a huge deal. We had interurban. We had a railway from Ithaca to Auburn that was supposed to be electric the whole way, but it only got electric as far as South Lansing and the Rogues Harbor Inn. We'll talk about that. We were probably going to have a tour of the railroad remnants sometime in the fall or winter this coming up. Oh. And then we'll see that. But anyway, the electric were so big that there were the whole electric railway journals with all the technical information and the different systems would show what they had done. And it was a really, really big deal. It was the latest thing. But you mentioned the automobile, which is a very good point. Because the electric railways, the technology got very good about 1910. And then it was really big until 2025. And then, as you say, the Model T. And the Model A especially. The Model T was good, not so good, but the Model A came in. That was really a good car, and everyone would get that. Uh-huh. And then or the competitors, they by that time, they'd worked it out, and especially the rural people who had been totally isolated before. Mm-hmm. Now they started paving the highways, and the farmers, and especially the rural people who had been isolated, used to use their horse and buggy to come to the railway stations and so forth all through the country. Now they could come right from their farm. It was a massive improvement for them. So pretty much was the death of the electric interurban railways.
David Rossiter, any chance we'd see a streetcar in Ithaca in the distant future?
I don't think so. And the reason is I don't think the traffic density is really enough. There have been people that are kind of – I'm not a streetcar romantic. Now, I live in Europe a lot of the time in the Netherlands, and we have very good streetcar systems in Rotterdam, Amsterdam, and The Hague. And these are very densely populated cities with almost no automobile access. It's almost impossible to drive your car. Very modern systems. They're heavily subsidized, so you pay your fare, but there's also a lot of subsidy because – the concept there is mobility should be paid for, and there are different forms of mobility. And if you have people in their streetcar, they're not in the car.
Right.
And actually, I actually give Cornell some credit here because they do the same thing by saying, if you won't bring your car on campus, we'll give you a free transit pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually subsidizing TCAT. I mean, I have this. I don't drive my car on campus, and I have this OmniPass. And so that's the same idea. But Ithaca, I think the traffic density is not enough. The other thing is a lot of our TCAT routes now go out to the suburban areas where so many people who work in Ithaca live, and that wouldn't be realistic at all. So I don't think we'll see it. It's coming back in some cities, but I think Ithaca is not a very good candidate.
So your chance to see Ithaca's streetcar as the remnants of the path it took and the history behind it all is coming up this Sunday from our History Center. Get registered online today at thehistorycenter.net, and it all starts 1:30 on Sunday from the History Center's front doors at 401 East State Street with our guest, David Rossiter. David, we're out of time, but you are welcome back here anytime. I'd like to know a little bit more about our backyard and where we came from. Thank you, sir.
It'll be my pleasure. Thanks, Lee.